Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians in chapter 1. We're going to be in chapter 4, but I want to start with chapter 1 and do a whole lot of summarizing. Apart from Christ, I got a problem. I got a big problem. It's 215 pounds of flesh. Let me reword that. 215 pounds of ugly flesh. I got a problem. Tom, I don't know how much you weigh, but it's ugly flesh. I want you to know that. We go all over. Derek, I don't know how much you, ugly flesh. Bill, ugly flesh. I go all over. I won't do that to the ladies this morning, and I won't even guess, hesitate to guess what the weight is, but I do know this. We still have that problem. And I want to preach this morning on progressive sanctification. There's positional sanctification. I want to hit it like maybe I've never hit it before, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. I got a problem, and so do you. And Jesus has the answer to that problem. My problem is this. The good part is, positionally, I'm in Christ. I'm as good as there. I'm predestined to be like Jesus. That is a wonderful thing. We'll never be deity, but I'm going to be just like Jesus someday in God's heaven as far as never having to deal with the flesh. The trouble is, my problem is, I still have that old nature. I'm living with it. I'm going to live with it until the day I go to the grave or the sound of the trumpet and I go home by way of the rapture. And I've got to deal with the old Tim Rader every single day. If you're a man, you shave your problem every morning. If you're a woman, you paint your problem every morning. One way or another, we are all dealing with the flesh. Okay, I thought about the guy to grow those heavy beards. Ken, I heard you say no, you don't shave, do you? All right, but you still got a problem. You hide it behind that fur is what you do, but you got a problem. It's there, we have all got it. Now let's look at Ephesians and chapter 1, and I do want to summarize. I'm going to do the best I can. I heard an old preacher say this week, and I thought, boy, big amen to that. He said, listen, I know I'm not as young as I used to be, and I know I'm not as strong as I used to be or as fast as I used to be. I don't even think as good as I used to be, and it may take me 3 trips, but I'm going to bring you a full load before I get done here this morning. And I say, big amen to that. That is me. I'm going to do my best. And I've surrendered myself to Christ this morning. I want to fulfill some of the calling on my life and be a preacher of the Word of God. I want to give you good Bible doctrine that is going to help you in your home. And in turn, it will help in this church and the ministry that we are part of. So I know he that says he has no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. Saved by grace. Saved because of Jesus, but I still, until the day I go home, have to deal with that old nature. It's still there. Stand with me and let me read verses 1-6 of Ephesians in chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's writing to Christians. New Testament church, right there at Ephesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Verses 1-6, we should be holy. We're going to be like Jesus. And we failed Jesus, but Jesus is our helper. He's the only way to heaven. I want to pray again. Father, would you bless this morning the Word of God, even what we've already read? And God, would you get a hold of our hearts? And may even the one that's the most distracted this morning, may the Holy Spirit, may the power of the Holy Spirit take the Word of God and drive the truth home. And may it never be forgotten. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Let me summarize a little bit what chapters in Ephesians, in chapters 1, 2, and 3 say. And know this, if you're not born again, you've got to get saved. If you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you're going to burn in the devil's hell, and God doesn't want you to go there. He provided for you eternal life. And he's writing to the church. So he's writing to Christians, and he says, this is a real loose summary. Verse 3, he says, you're blessed. Verse 4, he says, you're chosen. Verse 5, he says, you're adopted. Verse 6, he says, you're accepted. Verse 7, he says, you're redeemed. Verse 7 again, he says, you are forgiven. Verse 13, you are sealed. Chapter 2, he says in verse 1 and 5, you are quickened, you're made alive. Verse 6, he says, you're seated in heavenly places. Verse 13, he says, you're made nigh unto Christ. Verse 16, reconciled. Verse 19, a fellow citizen with the saints of God. Look at chapter 3 and verse 14. Chapter 3 and verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're Christians. We're born again children of God, in heaven or on earth, just as saved. It's just that they're already there and we're not. And we're living the real life that we live here in this earth. It is a spiritual battle. And here's the deal. We've got the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil is our biggest enemy, but the devil is not omnipresent, nor are his demons, although they're vast in number. They can't be everywhere at one time. So the truth is, I don't deal with the devil every day. The world culture, that's a big, bad culture. It's a hopeless culture. It's dark. People are stumbling in spiritual darkness. That's a big, bad deal. But my biggest problem is my flesh, because I face it every single day, and it goes with me no matter where I go. Sometimes I say things I ought not to say. Sometimes I think things I ought not to think. Sometimes my feet take me places that I ought not to be. It is a battle every single day. Saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace he is saved. Same letter. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I've got this battle that I'm fighting all of the time. It says here in verse 16 that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. We need strength. With might. By his Spirit. We need the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in the inner man, and he indwells us, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We've got to have that faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Listen to this, it's a mouthful. It's not my sermon. What is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that's the Holy Spirit, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Let me summarize, and I start my sermon. Chapter 4. Just a few verses, and I want to hit it and hit it hard and hit it so you can understand it. Chapter 2 and verse 6. Well, let me read verse 1 first of chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. This is Paul. He's pleading. I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation. That's our life work. That's our calling. You say, what is that, preacher? To live like Jesus. To be holy. Paul writes the church at Ephesus. He says, I beg you, I'm a prisoner of the Lord, a bond slave to Jesus. I've given everything up to serve him. I beg you that you walk worthy of your calling, of the vocation wherewith ye are called. What a challenge. He says here, chapter 2 and verse 6, because you're saved, or chapter 2 and verse 6, because of the fact that you're nobody and now you're somebody. Chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, because you're saved by grace. Chapter 2 and verses 10 through 22, because Jesus did it all. Chapter 3 and verse 21, because he ordained the church. Chapter 4 and verse 1, because of those things, I beg you, walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called. We are called of God to shine as lights. That's not my words, that's Paul's words. That's the word of God. That's this letter. Shine as lights in the world of darkness. If you're traveling incognito as a Christian, you're not doing the will of God. If you're that secret Christian that kind of hides your light, you're afraid your peers or your classmates or your co-workers are going to discover that you're a born-again child of God, you're not fulfilling the call of God, the vocation of God that He has called you to. Saved by grace, provided for by God, one day going to be in heaven, in God's heaven, perfected. Because of those things, Paul said, I beg you, I beg you, I beg you. You've got to get together. Now look what it says. Verse 2 of chapter 1, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. He says, I beg you, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He's saying, I'm begging you, you've got to find a way to get along. He says, we're to forbear one another in love. You say, I'm too big for that. Well, that's too bad, because you're too big for God to use. And the truth is, if serving is beneath you, then leading is beyond you. You'll never be used of God to lead. Jesus, the ultimate King of Kings, we read about this in Sunday school, made of himself no reputation and came and lived among men as a man. And he suffered and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The ultimate and final humiliation. And Paul is telling the believers at Ephesus, he said, you have got to, for the sake of the gospel, for the cause of Christ, you've got to find a way to get together. I have for you this morning a rags to riches story. I'm like that pauper that found gold. I'm that beggar that found bread. I'm a nobody, and now I'm a somebody because of Jesus. I went from being a nothing to having everything. That's because of Jesus. As a sinner, I found Christ. Nothing to brag about. I've got nothing to brag about in myself. I echo again the greatest New Testament Christian that ever lived. Oh, wretched man that I am. Words of the Apostle Paul. I know what I am. I'm a wretch. I'm a nothing. But I found Jesus. I found something better than gold. I found something that is not a wishing well. It's a fact. And it's recorded in Holy Writ, in the very Word of God. I have a vocation, a calling in my life. I'm to exalt Jesus. I'm to be that world and that light in the world. And so Paul is, in the context of chapter 4, Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, just like he told the church at Philippi, you find a way to get along, or you'll live alone. And it'll be a barren, fruitless life. It'll be we four and no more. And your whole community will go to hell. We have an awesome responsibility as children of God. Man, I want to take people to heaven with me. I don't want to just go alone. I want my family to go. I want my children to go. I want my grandchildren to go. I want more than that. I want my neighbors to go. I want my co-workers to go. I want my classmates to go. I want to take as many people to heaven with me as I possibly can. And Jesus, that's exactly what he wants. He said, that's your calling, buddy. Son, that's your calling. You say, oh, I'm above that. That's beneath me. Loosen your halo, sister. You have not arrived. You are not the epitome of New Testament Christianity. We need to lean on Christ. I shared this morning in Sunday school, and I'm likely going to share it. It'll either be next Sunday morning, and I'll preach on revival, or it's going to be in Sunday school. A quote by Leonard Ravenwood, and he has been in heaven for 50-plus years. It is so powerful. This country that we live in right now is so desperate for truth. Amen. Is the church up to it? Are you, as an individual believer, are you surrendered to Christ, or are you doing your own thing right now where it counts the most? Go to Ephesians and chapter 4. Ephesians and chapter 4. Look at verse 17. I just need to skip all of this. I'll read verse 3 and 4 one more time. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We've got to work at it. There's one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope and one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Can I say this? There's no room for pettiness in the family of God. There's no promotion that you're going to get except you are promoted from God. And Peter didn't get that. Peter struggled with that. I'm right at the edge of blowing my outline right out of the water. If I can hold back just a little bit, we're going to go to John chapter 3 in just a moment. I'll run real fast to it. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. We're to be different. In the emptiness, in the vanity of their mind. Empty, ignorant, narcissistic. Don't follow the world. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I've said this before. I'll say it again, so I'm going to leave this thought. Don't follow your heart. Don't find your own truth. Follow God's heart. Find his truth. That's where the answer is. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, or a license to sin. I can do whatever I want to do. To work all uncleanness with greediness. They have become cold, calloused, and insensitive to the Holy Spirit. That can happen to a child of God, where your conscience gets seared and the things of God are no longer important. You no longer weep with those that weep, cry with those that cry, and are broken with those that are broken. Laugh with those that laugh and rejoice with those that rejoice. You've become an end unto yourself. I warn you, that's a dangerous place to be. Follow Christ, not the world. Look at verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So don't follow the world. Instead, follow Christ. Live that resurrected life. Hey, I came across this quote. Old preacher man said this: God has made no provision for you or me to live the Christian life. He has made every provision for the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life through you and through me. It's not me. It's not you. God is looking for that vessel that's surrendered so the Holy Spirit can live through us. That's a whole lot deeper than what you're first hearing. You know, you might think, well, I'm my own man. I'll lift myself up by my own bootstraps and I'm somebody and get all puffed up. Sorry, buddy. It's not going to be long and you're going to be brought low. Far better to just surrender and die to self and let the Holy Spirit start living through you. That's the victory way. And that's that vocation that we are called to that Paul is alluding to here. He says, man, don't follow the world. Follow Christ. Now, here's how you do it. Here is how. Verse 23, here is how to get along. This is it. Verse 23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what he says here, number one, is put on the new man. You find a way to get along by surrendering and putting out the old man and putting on the new man, the new Tim Rader. That's the one that God uses to minister, not the old fallen Tim Rader. And again, it isn't that, understand, in case you're a babe in Christ, I don't want to confuse you. I remember when I was first saved, sometimes a preacher would preach this kind of thing, and I'd get a little bit confused. You can't lose your salvation. If there was a time you called upon Christ, repenting of your sin, God hears that prayer every time, and you were born into the family of God. That is a one-time thing. That is, now, positionally sanctified, you are seated in heavenly places. You're predestined. You're already in Christ. As a child of God, your name is written down and it can't be erased. And I think I said this 2 weeks ago. God doesn't abort his children. Then you get born again, you become a child of God, you're his. God has placed you in his hand, John in chapter 10, and no man is able to take you out. You're his, you're secure, you can't be unborn, you're saved by grace, it is a gift. That's positional sanctification. Romans chapter 8, you're as good as in heaven already. But I still got that old nature inside me until I get home to heaven. And so therefore, there's the battle. And I need to put off the old man, just like taking off a coat. I was going to rip this off, but I got that microphone. Just like taking off a coat and setting it over there and putting on the new man, putting on the new coat and putting it on. And as a child of God, I have got to put on the new man. I confess, I understand the theological truth. I'm not sure exactly how that happens except by the Word of God And experientially, it's true. I'm not the man I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not the man I used to be. I'm a born-again child of God, still a sinner, saved by grace, and I'm growing. That's progressive sanctification. It's not enough to get saved as a fire insurance policy and then sit and sour and find everything wrong with everybody else. Instead, you grow, progress spiritually. You move on. You become more like Jesus. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It's all about, and it really is, relationships and getting along and not just avoiding people you don't like, but actually growing in grace so you can forbear and be near them and love them. And maybe they're going to be changing as well. And together, we're going in the same direction. You put off the old man, put on the new man, surrender to the Holy Spirit so that God can use you. Verse 26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Ever get angry at the brethren? I got to tell you this. You can't hold a grudge. Jesus doesn't hold any grudges. If he did, I'm done, man. I'm done. You know how many times I've disappointed him? You know how many times I've made promises to him? And I throw it right back in his face 2 days later. It's not an excuse for sin. It never is. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And Jesus is there for me all along. And he's there for me every time I come back to him. God, thank the Lord he's the merciful, long-suffering God. Thank the Lord for his loving kindness. If I were God, you'd have been dead a long time ago. So would I. Man, that kind of justice, the mercy of God. So find a way to get along. That dovetails with what we studied this morning in Sunday school. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Kick the devil out. Man, give him the size 10 and a half boot that you have on your foot. And don't play footsie with him. It isn't going to work. You know, when old smutty face comes knocking at the door, just slam the door right. Just don't even answer the door. Don't even answer the door. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let him that stole steal no more. Talking about a changed life. But rather let him labor, get busy, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know what he's saying in verse 28? Quit whining and get busy ministering. Get busy doing whatever it is God would have you to do. When I come to verses like these, I think of my loving Ma Rader, my mom, and she had such a way with words. Sometimes she'd turn around and say, just shut up. And that might be what the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning. You're whining about this and you're whining about that. It is tough getting old. And every time we get together, we talk, oh, my knee this and my elbow this. And oh, my God, I've got a liver problem back here. And it's like we find comfort in whining and complaining. Do you know anybody like that in other parts of life? It's like they got to have a confrontation, some gossip that they can talk about because it exhilarates them. That is so far from the mind of Christ. So far. I can tell you the Proverbs right now. Don't put any wood in the fire. Don't grab a hold of that mad dog by the ears. You're going to get bit. That's what Solomon said in Proverbs. And that's not, don't go there. So he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, verse 29, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We all struggle with gossip, don't we? I'm not the only one here, am I? Say amen if you struggle with gossip. Okay, we get there. You know, it's flesh is what it is. That's what it is. It's part of that ugly flesh. And nobody likes being around people that spreads other people's dirty laundry. I don't enjoy that. I don't. I know what God has forgiven me concerning. I know the mercy of God in my life, and I'm not interested. I don't relish in evil that way. And if you've got a problem where you've developed an appetite in that area, shut up. Listen to my mama. Just shut up. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And he mentions five poisons here. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. One more verse, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. See, the whole context is getting along. And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted. Say, preacher, why are you preaching this? Because we need revival. We drift. It isn't long. And we're adrift at sea. And we're being involved with things we're not supposed to be involved in, and talking about things we ought not to be talking about instead of exalting Jesus Christ. And we born-again Baptist people, we're just like everybody else in this earth apart from Jesus Christ. And if you let your flesh take over, that ugly flesh take over, before long you're going to be acting just like the world. That's why Paul addresses this for the church at Philippi. Be ye kind one to another and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I said this, I believe, last week. I said it already twice today. I want to say it again. I'm traveling the state a little bit, and everywhere I go, people want to know about Jesus. What's going on at the church over there? He said it on the radio. Those boys go to that, and I loved it. Boy, I maybe got a little fleshly here. I don't know. That big Baptist church in the other end of the UP. You know, they're over there looking this direction, and maybe sometimes they think they see something that isn't really here. I don't know. But it's making an impact. You know what that is? People are hungry. They are searching for the truth at every walk of life all around us in Chippewa County and Lewis County and Mackinac County and just below the bridge and just to the west of us. People are hungry. They're searching. I'll say it again. They've figured it out. They've watched enough news now. They've lived long enough in life. They're out of college. They're not just believing what college professors tell them because, oh, they're so smart. No, they got a textbook, and they've been indoctrinated themselves. All right. People have gotten to the place where they no longer trust the news, the media. People have gotten to the place in this country where they no longer trust the universities. They've gotten to the place in this country where they no longer trust the government. They know there's corruption at every level, and they're searching, and they know there's something that is real. And his name is Jesus Christ. And I just ask you this morning. Is the church ready? Are you involved in the harvest? I'm busy, Pastor. Too bad, because we could use you. Are you involved in the reaping of souls and bringing them to Jesus? Man, we got old school next week. This is the one day where we impact all of Michigan. And now it's more than trickled into Wisconsin and up into Canada. And people are looking, and preachers need to be encouraged. And it isn't just preachers that come to old school. You've been coming the last couple of years, you know, there's a lot of lay people, a lot of deacons, a lot of Sunday school teachers. Man, they love it. It's kind of like the old camp meeting, if we only had more room. I'm afraid to spread it too much. And truthfully, right now, I'm a little bit afraid. There we are again. Where are we going to put them all? I don't know, but God is going to do a great work. We need some people to come to the altar this morning, get right on their knees, and pray for some pastors by name that you want to see revival in their ministries. Lighten their load. Pray for some of the brethren, the brothers and sisters that have weighed down. Some have strayed. They're no longer on fire for God. Maybe we're part of the reason. Come and confess our own sins. Maybe pray for your family by name. Maybe some are wandering. You know the problem with being adrift is you don't recognize it until you're out of sight. How many of you will say, Pastor, I'm going to pray every day this week, not only for old school, but for revival. That thirst, that hunger is there. We've got to reach them with the truth. Oh God, hear our hearts this morning. Some people think they're completely fine and comfortable where they are, and nothing is happening for the glory of God. We don't know the power of God like we ought. Oh God, please. Send revival. Stir us. Be gentle, but stir us. Fan the flames. And we pray for the salvation of souls and revival in the state of Michigan and up into Canada. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.